Welcome to Podnuts Computer Repair Podcast, episode number 246, Be Smart. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Brian Best from Best Max, and he's introducing a new product that him and his company have come up with called Be Smart. How you doing, Brian?
I'm well, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on the show. And I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and start off with a origin story of where you came up with and kind of give us a little tiny overview of what Be Smart is, and then we'll dig into it a little bit more.
Sure, sounds good. So Best Max, I started, and we've been in business, we're coming up on our 19th year here, and we are an all Mac IT shop, managed services provider at this point. We've done a lot of different variations. And we're kind of unique in that we're in that Apple-only bubble. People who listen to the show have heard me call it Bizarro IT because we're just kind of weird that way. A few years ago, I started interacting with a lot more Windows-centric IT folks. And I've always had relationships with Windows-centric IT folks here in the Kansas City area where we're based. For trade-off, they'd outsource, Apple stuff to me. I'd refer Windows stuff to them and so forth. But as a result of some work I was doing a few years ago, I started interacting with more and more Windows first IT folks. And the work I was doing was centered around a software product. And so I'd be getting questions about the software. And then I'd get questions like, well, hey, do you know what's going on with this Mac server doing blah, 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 blah? And I'd be like, yeah, our software doesn't do that. They go, yeah, I know, but you're a Mac guy. Can you just answer the question for me? And I'm like, well, sure, it's this, and it led to looking at having those sorts of conversations and kind of realizing that a lot of Windows IT professionals are encountering Apple gear more and more out in the field, and they're having to support it. Sometimes they're just, a lot of times they will send it away or, or partner it off or refer it off or send the business somewhere, but sometimes they do take it on, and it becomes this deal where, in talking with a number of folks, they feel like, okay, hey, I've signed this client. I have this Apple gear that I have to support, but I know I'm not doing a good a job of it as I am on the Windows stuff. And that concerns me. And so I started trying to think about, well, what could I do given my expertise in this field? What can I do to help Windows first IT professionals feel confident, feel comfortable, feel capable of doing more Apple-centric support? And that's where Be Smart came from. This was my answer to that equation of how we would enable a Windows first IT pro to grow their business by feeling like they can take on Apple-centric or Apple-related projects or clients. And also somebody who is not necessarily an independent IT professional be able to do Apple support because they need protection. I mean, there's a lot of, pieces about a Mac or an iOS device that could open up a security hole in the back end that could cause data loss or issues on a client's network or just bad customer service that gets them in hot water that way. And so that's what we put out. That's what Be Smart's all about.
That's a very good overview. And I think it's definitely something that's needed because we've kind of talked about this before, but one of the things as an IT tech or IT business owner or professional we run into is there's only so many hours in a day. So if I am surrounded by Windows, I want to take time to learn the other operating systems so I can support them, but at the same time, don't really have the time to be able to take the time to learn those other systems. And there's many ways you can do it. We're talking about, basically, I live in a Windows universe personally and for my business clients. Personally, because I'm a gamer, and that's what I know. Now, can I get in a Mac and dink around? Sure, I can. But a lot of times, it's not second nature to me to understand exactly where I need to go. So now I'm taking time and effort to try to learn something on the fly only when I need it. And the chances are I'm going to run into that same problem again and I'm going to forget and have to go back to going through the process of relearning it to try to figure out what it is that I need to do in this particular case, where it sounds like your guys' service is actually all that information right on hand.
Yeah. You know, part of the, you talk about origin story, another place, this wasn't really part of the origin of BeSmart, but it relates. And it's in our experience, we actually have some clients that have Windows boxes, right? It's Bizarro IT. So we've got a few Windows boxes out there. We don't support them very well. And usually we partner off for any kind of issues we have with them. But the, you know, one of my guys, this was a few years ago, spent like 3 hours working on this Windows PC that was having some sort of issue. I called a friend of mine who does Windows IT here in town. And I said, hey, man, what do you think of this? And he goes, oh, well, that's just service patch, blah, 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 you know, KB, blah, blah, blah. We install it and boom, the problem goes away. I'm like, that was like a 5-minute fix. Why did we spend 3 hours on this? And so it's kind of the same deal, right? Now, I would argue that Apple support is a little bit less pervasive than Windows support. I mean, you know, you're talking about maybe 15% of the market in a good estimation, you know, and actually a number of years ago, it was even smaller than that, obviously. So it's not going to be your bread and butter. And when you talk about the limited time you have in the course of a day, you know, what are you going to spend your time on? You're probably going to spend your time on learning something that maybe make you even more profitable than that, or maybe part of your core competency. You know, Windows 10 comes out with a new version. Okay, well, what makes it special? Let's go figure that out. You know, you got to spend your time. And so there's so many directions you can be pulled. What I'm trying to say to folks with BeSmart is that, you know, okay, so you go into a client and you say, I can do Mac stuff. Can you really do it? You know, or is it a deal where you're kind of like their cousin who knows computers? You know, you think, you know, my cousin does computers. Sure, he does, you know. And so they come in. So I'm trying to give folks the ability to leverage my company's and my team's knowledge and experience so that they can go in and offer that same level of support and have that, in addition to having that phone call or having that contact in just a very short way away. So, for example, if you did bump into a deal where you were getting banging your head against a Mac problem, it'd be a deal where as a BeSmart member, you could contact us and we'd help you through it. And so if it was something as simple as, oh, hey, and download and install this, or hey, toss out this prep file, we know that because we do it all day, every day. It's our core competency. Just in the same way that I would reach out to a Windows guy and say, hey, what's this? Save my tech 3 hours worth of work. The other thing that we think it does is because you're getting pulled into so many directions, you know, is there training out there for Mac? Sure it is. I mean, you can go take a class. You can read a bunch of books. I think Ingram Micro just launched something not too long ago that was Apple training, right? But we really felt like since it's a percentage of your business that you're probably not going to want to spend a week in a classroom learning how to support a Mac, right? So we wanted our training and our resources to be very bite-sized nuggets, 5-minute videos, you know, maybe a 2-page how-to, little tips of how to do various different things. So it's very easy to consume. You know, we know another common practice we see a lot of Windows folks do when they're deciding they want to take on Apple gear is they'll buy that used Mac off of Craigslist, right? And they'll stick it in the corner of the office. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to use it. And, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. And even if you do, a lot of times you don't want to spend a lot of money on it. So it ends up being like really old. And so you're dealing with like maybe like a 5-year-old operating system. And so you're not seeing the latest stuff. Some folks go and do immersion. Well, you know, that's cool too. But you know, maybe the reason you're on Windows to begin with, like you are, Jeff, is that you don't want a Mac to be your daily driver. So immersion therapy on it is going to drive you nuts. You know, do you really want to drive yourself nuts for a week or 2 weeks or a month or however long it takes?
No, I don't.
Yeah. So exactly. So we felt like this would be a much better option to give a Windows IT provider everything they would need in order to go take on a client that is primarily Mac, or even just this small island of Macs inside of a larger Windows client. So you're not losing business with a potential really big fish for you just because they also want you to deal with these 5-10 Macs that are sitting in this one department.
Those are all valid points. And I think that for the person out there that needs this type of thing, which is probably going to be most everybody, because I would imagine that there are places that have, you know, we've talked about this before, and although I sometimes make fun of the how many Macs are actually out there, there's actually, they've been gaining much traction over the years, and there's a lot, especially in the creative universe, which if you're, I've gone into home-based businesses that is their, they've got their Macs, they've got their iMacs, they've got their Mac towers that are basically running all their video editing software and all these different things. And I go in there and I actually have to sometimes myself ask the person that runs these all day long, hey, where do I look to get the IP configuration off this? And they just go, oh yeah, it's over here. And you go, so you kind of go into those situations and you don't look all that smart, which is kind of funny that you have a play on words with your business name, Be Smart, right? So you don't want to go in looking like an idiot. Yet a lot of times that's what we have to do because we don't have anything that we can go and reference and look at or ask somebody, hey, here's what we need.
Or worse, you end up spending an hour Googling it, you know, so you're wasting, you know, and customers can sense that, right? I mean, that customer who you asked, you know, they're thinking in their head, they're like, isn't he the IT guy? He's supposed to know this, right? Or even if you don't ask and they see you kind of fumbling with it, they're like, why is he taking so long? He's not very efficient. This shouldn't be taking as long as it is, especially if you're doing time and materials billing. You know, they can sense the trepidation. You know, I think I always use the phrase, clients can smell fear, you know, and they can smell BS. So it's kind of a, you don't want to, you know, so I think that's why most, Windows folks, in my experience from talking with them, talking with various folks in our field, about this topic, they will go into what they think is a new lead. They'll go in and they'll see a whole bunch of Apple gear and they'll be like, well, crap. I mean, I guess I'm out. I'm done. And a lot of times they'll just turn it away or maybe find a partner to hand it off to. And I'm trying to say to you, well, no, I mean, this is your core competency. Your core competency is computers, right? It's networks. It's internet protocol. It's backup. It's security. And yeah, the Mac is a little bit different, but it's got all that same stuff. So it's part of your core competency. And the analogy I always use is an American driving in Europe or in England, excuse me. I mean, it's everything's there. You know how to drive. That hasn't changed. It's just, it's all on the other side. And it's the same, but it's just different enough to throw you off. I mean, like in your example, you knew you had to go do something to the IP address, but where the heck are they hiding it? Right. And I feel that pain because I feel the same thing. I sit down to Windows. I'm like, wow, where is this thing again? I right click the taskbar. Is that it? And I know it's there and I know, you know, what a subnet mask is. I know what it does, but I got to go find it. And it's kind of the same deal. And that's how we're approaching this as well. You don't really need a week's worth of training in order to find all this stuff. What you need is be able to reference it really fast and have a source. And if it's something where it's going beyond just a simple, hey, where is this? And you've taken on a client that has some Mac and you're getting yourself in over your head. I mean, that's the other reason I think people are afraid to take on that sort of work is because what happens if I've committed to this client, they're paying me money and I can't deliver? Well, we want to help you deliver. And you know, be able to take on that business, especially when there's a lot of Windows business attached to it. I mean, these days, like you said, there's a ton of Macs out there. If you're turning it away because they want you also to deal with these few Macs on the network, and you're about to lose out on a big fish because you can't do it, that's a problem. You know, we want to give you a competitive advantage to be able to take that business on and feel confident that you can deliver on your services that way. And that's where the whole service came from was that sort of deal.
Okay. So let's go ahead and let's start breaking down exactly what BSmart can actually do for you or do for you from a top to bottom, and kind of lay out some of the things that somebody's going to, is a IT professional out there, what are they going to get and how is it going to benefit them as far as being able, what type of information can they get, what things are out there. And obviously there's a pricing structure and everything that goes with that too.
Sure, sure. We do it in levels. And really there's three levels that we deal with. On the low end, you're talking $19 a month membership. Okay. So we the other part was, we're also talking to IT professionals who aren't independents, who aren't independent IT pros, but they still have the same problem. And they may not be concerned with growing a business, but they are concerned with protecting their company and being efficient. We want it to be a deal where they're not ignoring a segment of their network and potentially exposing themselves to a backdoor or issues like data loss, or even, you know, if the group that uses the Apple gear calls in an outside vendor and if the vendor does both platforms, probably one of the first questions is, well, who does your PCs? Are they doing a good job? And so there's a threat of losing your job to outsourcing from somebody who can use the Mac as a gateway into the business and get to the decision makers. So, you know, being able to take that stuff on is really important, and having it at a low monthly fee, we're hoping it becomes a bit of a no-brainer, right? It's like, well, $19 a month, I can invest that in my business in order to be able to take on all this extra work. And for an IT pro, well, that's expensible. I can just put that on a card and get reimbursed without having to go through a whole PO process, that sort of thing. So at that level, at that first level, again, we still want to meet the goal. We want to give you whatever you need in order to be successful in doing this. So the first thing is we give you access to our resource directory. So this is a list of websites and phone numbers that we keep handy and we keep up to date because we reference it internally. Whenever we bump into a situation like, how do you check to see if a computer's still in warranty? What's the line to get a hold of Apple customer relations? You know, that sort of thing. How do I look up a serial number to see what the specs are? How do I, you know, just basically the ability to look up a directory and know without having to Google stuff and possibly land somewhere or try to hunt down something, we'll have it sitting right there. Likewise, we want the training to be small nuggets. So you'll get our video training library. And we update a new video every month. So there's always something new. And obviously customers can say, hey, what about this? And we'll make one by customer request. We put out a newsletter every month that includes the link to the newest video, but also breaking news. You know, what did Apple release last quarter? You know, when iPhone 8 comes out, we'll talk all about that. When High Sierra, the new OS launches, we'll talk all about what makes it new. If there's any hot issues like, hey, don't update Office 16 point whatever, it's going to break Outlook. You know, we'll be able to give you a heads up on that. Those sorts of things, including small, like one or two page how-tos that are more of a deep dive on a topic that you might be interested, that you could even pass on to your customers to let them know about your savvy in this particular area, give you credibility that way. And then the other piece that you get at level one is a read-only early warning system, which is like it's a monitoring client. So you'll be able to install the monitoring client on 30 Macs that you might support, and it'll send alerts on what's going on with those Macs to your PSA or to whatever email address you choose. And so you'll know things that your users aren't necessarily going to tell you, things like, you know, your disk is getting full, it's throwing I/O errors, your time machine hasn't been backing up. The common things you'd want from a monitoring system, and that'll be available on those Macs as well. So you'll have that insight into what's going on. And then, of course, the ability to call us and get help on whatever you need. So you'll be able to hook up with one of my team at Best Max, who's on demand whenever you need it. And we do bill for that a little bit extra, but we did it at a per minute rate. So there's no minimums. And most calls are going to take less than 10 minutes to get an answer out. So you can, instead of Googling for hours and hours or just banging your head against something, you know that you can just get on the line with us and we'll knock it out for you and give you a hand with it.
That's awesome. So now that's all included in level one.
Yep. That's all on level one.
Okay.
And then so level two, you add all of that. Now level two jumps up to $59 a month. But level two gives you a couple other things, gives you the ability to email your Q&A at no extra charge. So if you've got a question that's not really urgent and maybe not customer specific, you can just email that in and we'll get back to you as fast as we can with an answer, again, at no additional fee. And then we also send you a couple of USB flash drives that are bootable. And should be able to boot just about every Mac you'd encounter in the field. And we'll have the OS installer in addition to a bootable partition of just a clean install of the operating system. And it has a number of tools that we use on a regular basis. So you don't have to go hunting for them or downloading them. They'll already be on the drive and you can just start using them. And we keep these up to date. So when you boot from them, it checks in and updates itself with the latest versions of whatever and any new utilities we decide to pass on. And you'll get a couple of those as well. And then we discount the remote support. That's so when you call in, it's 25% less than you would call in on level one. And the third level is you know, when you need more in depth. Third level would be more of an outsourcing type situation where, hey, you know, I really want to do white label type support for my clients. And that's where we would get into, you know, an MDM for the iOS devices, an RMM tool for the for remote management of the Macs. My team would triage any kind of automated tickets that come in from the monitoring system, shared documentation, and then assessments for your clients. We could do it that way.
That's great. So if somebody didn't want to actually deal with the problem, they could call you, have you guys deal with the problem, obviously for a fee. And take care of that problem where they're going, you know what? I just need it done. I'm billing the client for this anyways. I'm just passing the cost on to them. I'm going to make a little bit of money anyways on this. So it should all be good.
Where they're more interested in just kind of handing it off and letting us deal with it, but want to make sure that they're still in the loop and still making margin on it. Yeah, level three would be a way to go.
Awesome. Wow, that's I think this is definitely something that's needed out there. I think that people... if they're not, they should be flocking to this. Obviously, now, when did you guys launch?
We launched earlier this month, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys got all the right things. I know one of the common problems I hear from a lot of people, when they do encounter a corrupted OS on a Mac, that doesn't happen, does it? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because that's one of the questions I got when we were feeling this out, I did quite a bit of research on this before we launched it and what was going to be the right mix of services that we're going to fit the bill. And one of them was very simply, hey, I like this idea, but how do I sell Mac support when Macs don't break?
Yeah.
and they were being dead serious about it. Right. And it's just like, okay, well, it looks like you've got a user who drank the Apple Kool-Aid. You know, that's what Apple's not going to fight that perception. They want everybody to think that, whether it's true or not, or grounded in reality, is a completely different matter. And as somebody who's owned a support business for almost 19 years that's done nothing but Apple support, I can tell you, yeah, they do. They break and they get malware. And in fact, malware is becoming even a more common problem on the Mac in the past 6 to 12 months than it's ever been. So that's starting to happen now. Or we're seeing more incidents of that. So again, I come back to the fact that it is a computer. I mean, it's going to have all the same maladies that any computer is going to have. It's going to need to reinstall an operating system. And part of the challenge in doing Apple support or adding that to an IT company's service offering is selling that aspect to it. Now, it's easier when you've got a client already that's primarily Windows, but if you're trying to close a client that's already Mac, you know, you've got to help them understand that concept that we as IT people, we get it. Yeah, of course, it's a computer. It's going to break. Stuff's going to happen. But if they've been drinking the Apple Kool-Aid, well, then, you know, you can start talking about, okay, what if it's working fine? Well, let's talk about backup. Let's talk about workflow efficiency. Let's talk about, you know, cloud services. I mean, there's plenty of work to be done that doesn't revolve around a Mac breaking. All right. And that you can still sell those services same way you would sell them to your Windows partners, your customers.
Right. No, I totally agree. One of the other things too, in talking about that, is that a lot of times getting things like a proper operating system to do a reinstall, because I don't know if it's like this in the Apple universe, I'm sure it is, but in the PC universe or the Windows universe, there are no, they don't ship disks anymore. A lot of times, you know, they even went to where they were shipping USB keys, and a lot of times they don't even do that. It's like they give you the opportunity right at the beginning to make a backup on a DVD, which absolutely hardly anybody does. So you're kind of at this loss where you, okay, now where do I get this information? They have a corrupted OS. I need to reinstall it. Where do I get a proper copy of that OS so that I can do that?
So two thoughts on that. I mean, you know, Apple obviously did this very early on. They did that with 10.7, which was what, 6 years ago, something like that. So that they've been doing that deal where you get your OS from the App Store for quite some time now. And so we've been dealing with that and how to handle those sorts of scenarios. The OS isn't serialized, so it's a little bit different than a Windows install. I think, didn't that change in Windows 10 where, in any case, I'm getting off topic, but it's easier to get an OS installer. If you're dealing with the latest one, sure, you can go to the App Store and you can pull it down and it's not a big deal, right? But if you're dealing with an older one, those aren't as readily available unless you were on board and getting them as soon as they came out. So like I can download all of them because obviously I got them as I went along. But for somebody who's just getting in now, you're basically getting the latest and that's it. You won't have the opportunity to go get the older ones that you might need if you're supporting older gear. Now, every Mac has a recovery partition on it by default. Not everyone does. Some situations, the recovery partition won't be made. But you can boot from this limited operating system like a recovery mode, and it will let you do a reinstall of the OS, but it's got to download it. And so you're sitting there waiting for like a 4 gig download.
Oh.
Yeah. Which, you know, depending on your internet, could be a big problem. And that's why on level two, we're including the flash drives. Because that way you'll have at least a new operating system that's clean that you can boot from, and you'll likely have a version of the OS that you can install to get things back up and running, because we'll have the installer on here without any download.
Nice. And that saves you, again, time, and time a lot of times is money.
Yep. And just the fact that it's bootable as a troubleshooting aid, it could save the day right then and there, because you could boot from our thing knowing that's a known good OS and find that, well, the problem is still occurring, so probably going to be a hardware issue, and that might be all she wrote. And your troubleshooting issue at that point, it might be a deal. Well, take it over to the Apple Store because it's under warranty, and that may be all you need right then and there.
Now, my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that a lot of times you can pay for things like Apple Care, but they only allow you to do it for 3 years, and then there's a certain point where they actually cut off support for certain lines of Macs that are out there.
Yeah, we've actually got, absolutely. When you get the machine now, and actually they just changed this. It used to be a deal where you could buy the extended Apple Care. It's an extended warranty for all intents and purposes. You could do that anytime within the first year of purchase. Now they've changed it because they added accidental breakage to it, kind of like they do with iPhones and iPads. On a Mac. So now you have to buy it within the first 60 days of purchase. And then it extends it out to 3 years. And that'll cover your hardware. And it covers, I believe, 2 breakage incidents as well. Like if you broke the screen for whatever reason, you'll pay a flat, inexpensive flat fee for the repair, which is way better than replacing the screen out of warranty. They also include some telephone tech support direct from Apple on that. Now, that's interesting to me, obviously, because it's like, well, hey, why would I get BeSmart if I can call Apple? Because Apple is somewhat limited in what they can help you with, right? They're going to help you with the operating system, the hardware, but any kind of third-party products. I mean, if your issue is with Microsoft Office and the Mac, well, that's too bad. Maybe you should try Numbers, Pages, and Keynote. You know, that's Apple's solution for spreadsheets and presentations. My team, no, we deal with Office all the time. So that's not going to be an issue for us. Likewise, we're going to look at third-party solutions that Apple may not be interested in helping you with. Likewise, when a machine gets to a certain age, you know, it's going to age out of that. And yeah, Apple will, they have a list of machines they consider vintage and obsolete. And the, what they will do for those machines diminishes. Cause you got to figure what's Apple's motivator here, sell more gear, right? They're not interested in keeping a 3-year-old machine up and running. They want you to buy something new. We don't have that problem. You know, we are interested in helping you keep going what you've got, you know, and the only reason we would tell you to ever upgrade is if you had to for compatibility reasons, or if you wanted new features that just weren't available in what you had. Those would be the only two reasons we'd suggest you upgrade.
Okay. And that's a good point, because I think a lot of people out there look at this, and let's be honest, Brian, how many people actually pay for AppleCare?
You know, it's actually surprising. I used to, when I owned a retail a shop where we were an Apple authorized retailer, AppleCare attach was actually really big. It was 60% was the target.
Really?
Yeah, we'd get AppleCare attach. Yeah.
It must have been everybody except my clients.
Well, you know, and actually, I used to say this at the time, I don't know if it's true anymore, but Consumer Reports would always shoot down extended warranties, and AppleCare was the only one they didn't. And it was primarily because of the phone support was the reason they didn't, because they figured you could call in every day with an Apple OS specific problem and get it answered at no additional charge because you have that AppleCare. Again, you were limited in some of the things we talked about earlier, but that's why they considered that a value. You know, adding the breakage thing, I think is pretty cool now, in having that. So I would argue that maybe that is a decent value as well, in that if my screen breaks within a week of me buying the thing, you know, I'm not out the cost of the machine. I'm out maybe, I forget what it is, $100 or something like that. To get the screen repaired because I bought that extra AppleCare up front.
Well, unfortunately, I know how most people think, and they go, I'll never break that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never leave that on the ground. I'll never step on that. I'll never drop it. I'll never. And yet, I can't tell you how many things, like, let's take the iPhone. Pretty much every person I know that has iPhone, or even an Android phone, any type of mobile phone, has a cracked screen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's usually within months of purchasing this thing, and they go, hey, that screen's way too expensive to replace. Still works, got a crack in it, looks horrible, but I'll still use it.
We call them the awe phone, because you look at it and you go, ah.
Well, it sounds like you guys got a lot of things going on here that I think are really going to help people, and you've got all the information in one place, which is good, because again, going out there in Google is not what it used to be. You used to be able to, probably, I don't know, 6 years ago, maybe, you could search Google and you could get pretty good at your Google foo and get out there and find exactly what you needed to fix the problem. Now, you get led down so many rabbit trails, and there's too much information out there. And not only that, there's too much wrong information out there that you just end up beating your head against the wall versus having a solution that's right there that you have access to basically 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what we were aiming for with the content we're putting on the site, is to make it, there is a search box. So you can kind of search through our site to see what you're looking for and see if we have an article or a how-to or a video about it already. But if for some reason we don't, if you're on level 2, there's the free email Q&A. Again, if it's something generic and not time sensitive. And if it's not, and you want to get us on the phone, you know, again, 5 minutes of conversation, you have your answer. And so you can then turn around and support your customer. Excellent. And again, I'm sorry?
I was going to say, and that's awesome, because if you think about it, if a person is charging X amount of dollars an hour, it's well worth that time. Because you're going to charge your customer for it anyways.
Right. What we didn't want to do, we actually focused when we were putting the rates together. One of the things we thought about was a bench tech at a repair shop. And generally, they're going to have a certain diagnostic fee. And we wanted to stay under that diagnostic fee. They get a Mac in, and they're like, it's doing something weird. We have no idea what it's doing. They get on the phone with B-Smart, you know, $10 later. They know what they're getting into, and they can decide, no, we're not going to do the repair, and still make margin on the diagnostic fee.
Absolutely. Now, what other types of things you said? Obviously, there's OSs on the USB stick, and you said there was some other diagnostic tools. Can you go into any of those that would be people would think about and be useful to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let me pull up a list real quick.
I knew you had a list.
Oh yeah, we've got a list, and it's actually on the site. I don't know if it's accessible. Of course, log in. I'm not sure if the list of software is accessible outside of the membership. We do talk a little bit about the USB stick and everything that's included on it, but I'll give you a preview of coming attractions here. Site's getting hammered.
Of course it is.
Yeah, of course it's supposed to be. That's good. So the utilities we include on the drive, we go into a lot of them. Now, most of them, almost all of them are freeware. Some of them are demos, so they'll be time-limited demonstration. We're not giving away licensed software or getting ourselves into a piracy situation, but there'll be recommendations. So one of the first things we put on there is actually our remote support tool. So if you're on the phone with us and it's just something where we're like, we don't understand, can you boot from our diagnostic drive and run the report to a remote tool where we can get in and look at the thing? So that way that's there and ready to go. I mentioned on the earlier PodNuts episode, I talked about Carbon Copy Cloner, which is my favorite tool for one-off copies, nightly backup, daily incremental backup, and just cloning a bootable disk to another bootable disk, including the recovery partition. That's normally a $40 piece of software, but we've got the demo copy on the stick, so you don't have to worry about where is that. The website's a little bit weird. It's bombitch.com, which is the last name of the guy who wrote it. But, you know, unless you knew that, you're going to be like, what? Where do I find it? And you're Googling Carbon Copy Cloner. Anyway, coconut battery to look at battery status. There's a easy find is a great find utility when Apple Spotlight isn't working. There's this fantastic utility for generating system reports called EtraCheck. We're putting that on there. I could go on and on. There's literally about 20 different utilities we're putting on this thing. All manner. And we're always updating it too, because we've got the ability, whenever you boot from the stick, it checks in to see if there's any updates that we want to apply to these. And that may include new utilities that we found that we think are awesome. And we can just put it on there without having to make it get a whole new stick.
And that's great, because one of the things that, again, you're already doing all the testing and it's something that you're using in your core business anyways. And so you're going, hey, this is the catch me out. This is what you need to use right now. This is what's going to solve your problem without you trying to figure out going through several different products to actually come up with a solution that works.
And I think that's a microcosm of the whole service, right? Is we're doing this every single day. This is all we do is Apple support. So leverage that. Leverage that in your own business. And that way you don't have to commit tons and tons of resources into doing that, or immersion in buying a Mac or any of these things. We've just shortcut it for you. And so you're ready to go.
I think there's a lot of good stuff on there. And I love the remote support aspect, because again, that is a super big time saver for somebody to just get in there, get it done. They get paid from the client. It's just passing that cost off, and it's well worth, I think, the cost of doing business.
We have one of our team dedicated to that, at least one of our guys dedicated to that every single day. So we're on hot standby for those sorts of things. Because I felt like the only way this was going to be successful, I'm a big believer in customer experience. So I feel like the way this is going to be successful is that when somebody does call in for help, they get that help, it's competent, it solves the problem, or at the very least points us to the solution of the problem, and it happens fast. And so we've dedicated a lot of part of that was why it took us so long to spin up, really, because I felt like we had to staff up and we had to be prepared for this. I didn't want a deal where you were calling in and you were waiting, days for a response. You want it now. And so we got to try to deliver it as fast as we possibly can.
So is there anything else that we didn't talk about that we could talk about your service? Any other things that you want people to know about out there?
The biggest thing is kind of what I said at the beginning, right? Is when you look at the fact that Apple is growing when you look at Mac market share and you look at Mac sales trends, they've actually been going up for years. And at the same time, the PC market has been declining. And I feel like a lot of IT professionals are feeling like they have to redefine themselves, right? They have to, well, I'm going to pivot into becoming a managed security provider, or I'm going to pivot into this or that and change their game. What I'm saying to you is that with the Apple support that you can feel like you can be comfortable taking on with BSmart, you don't necessarily have to pivot. This is something you already know how to do. We're just going to help you get past that weirdness factor and that discomfort factor and be able to take this stuff on and feel like you've got a safety net underneath you in doing so. And so it doesn't require that many changes to the way you're already doing things. Do your business the way you always have, but then take on a potential 15% growth on your bottom line. I mean, who would turn down 15% growth on your bottom line? And that's theoretically what could be possible by taking on a segment of the market that's about 15% that you've been ignoring, or worse, handing off to somebody else. Now you can keep that revenue in-house.
And I like really what you've said about this the whole time is that basically it's, we're doing the same things, but because it's in this bizarro universe, we don't really understand it the same, even though it is the same things. And so you're able to, again, just grab that information that you've already put together and just make your life a whole lot easier. So again, it's an added tool to the toolbox of stuff that you're already doing anyways.
Yeah, exactly. You already know how to do it. Just let's just get past the weirdness factor. And you know, I've talked with a lot of folks. I share a story that talking with a PC tech who was stymied by a particular problem with an SSD. And really, you know, what's funny about it was that if it were a PC, he'd have solved it in like 5 minutes. But because it was a Mac, he got weirded out and was like, I need help with this. And we just pointed out to him, no, it's just the SATA cable. That's it. You're good to go. And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That makes sense. You know, but it was just, it's like, it's a Mac. It's weird. Is the SSD Mac compatible? No, it's an SSD. Just put it in, you know, but there's value in recognizing that that you might be making something out of nothing. And that's something we'll obviously help with because it's not going to be foreign to us. It's not going to be weird to us. So we'll be able to get you over that weirdness of dealing with these products when you're just not used to.
Now, wasn't there a point where you had to have, wasn't there a certain chip that was on the hard drives years ago that Mac was shipping with all their systems?
There was a custom firmware that dealt with the temperature sensor.
Okay.
And so when you replaced it with a drive, the fans would kick on because the system was looking for that temperature sensor and it wasn't finding it. And so it's like, it's overheating. And all the fans go nuts. And there were various hacks around that. There were some aftermarket sensors you can get. And there was some software. And this, I think, what most people did was some software called Mac Fan Control that would let you spin down those fans or just deactivate that particular sensor. So it wouldn't be a big deal and the fans wouldn't be going crazy anymore.
So again, obviously with your newsletters and being part of this service, people are going to, if Apple does anything weird like that, they're going to have access to that information as it's coming out. So again, it's a time saver. They're not looking going, I've never seen this before. They already should have a heads up of what's going on.
Absolutely. And they'll know where to go to ask. You know, right now the thing might be, well, let's go on a forum or go on to Reddit or something like that. And hopefully we'll have an answer. Well, you know, you tell your clients, don't ask for help from strangers on the internet, right?
Yes.
So, you know, keep that in house and you'll know a source where you can go to and get that answer real fast. Either we deliver it ahead of time because we heard about it before you've encountered it. So it's in the newsletter you get via email, or it's on the site and you can search for it. Or if you're level two, that's a free email Q&A type thing. Hey, do you guys know why a fan would spin up on an iMac after a hard drive replacement? Yes, we do. And you got the email reply right in your inbox.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Brian, I think, again, this is a great service, and I think people should definitely go check it out. So why don't you let people know where they can do that and the best place to go to get signed up for the service?
Absolutely. It's besmart.bestmacs.com. So that's B-S-M-A-R-T dot bestmacs, plural, M-A-C-S, B-E-S-T-M-A-C-S dot com. All the info is there. You can actually see some sample content You know, one of the how-to articles, and you can actually sign up for our information about it. We'll send you a free Apple tip every week. So, you know, any kind of just a quick little tidbit of how to do something cool on a Mac that, or an iOS device that you haven't thought of, that'll just arrive in your inbox, and that's just a freebie.
We'll definitely have those links in the show notes so people can check that out. Well, I appreciate you coming out and sharing all about your product here and great thought process on helping other techs out there.
Well, thank you so much. And likewise, helping everybody out, finding all the good stuff out there. I really appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Not a problem. It's what we do here, because it's one of the things I learned when I first started doing podcasting is that there was a lot of stuff, businesses and different things that I didn't even know about as a tech. And I've been doing this for quite a long time. The more information we can get out there to help others, the better.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, let's see. If you guys would like to feature your product or service, you can send an email to guest@podnuts.com. And I want to thank everyone for listening to this show and subscribing. We'll see you next time on Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.